It's a blessing to be in church tonight, isn't it? I like what he said about making memories. Sometimes the memories we make are memories that we laugh about. sometimes we'll go home after church and we'll just get to laughing and carrying on and not in a mean way, but they make us smile. And it's good to have a church that can make you smile. I go to churches all over the country, and some of the ones I go to, I'm not taking a selfie, I'm unlocking my phone. Some of the churches that I go to and minister at are uptight. And I sometimes wonder how they can manage to breed any kind of worship in their churches because they're so uptight and so scheduled. And now, a lot of churches, they've got multimedia that goes along with the whole service. So you don't have a lot of liberty because you've got the slideshow and they're clicking off and different stuff. But I like the way we do things around here. Amen. I like the way we do things better than the way they ain't doing things. This is a church I remember coming here when I was 17 years old, me and my family and you've heard the story. Linda told all of us that there was going to be a youth rally and stuff. And so we came expecting a youth rally. And, you know, pastors, I never heard of no youth rally. He said, we'll do something. But there was a bunch of us here. And we had, I think we had a lock-in one night. We had hot dogs. We had all kinds of food and stuff like that. We had great services. And I remember the Spirit of the Lord being here. And I remember thinking, this is just kind of cool. You know, it's kind of cool that this pastor, you know, wasn't expecting this, but he managed to throw something together that quick. And it was that weekend. I was 17. And I sat right over here, played the organ for the first time in church, and just followed. I didn't know all the songs by heart. I played rock and roll music mostly. I knew how to play the Beatles and Queen and Boston and Van Halen and stuff, but I didn't know all the hymns and stuff like that, even though I grew up with them. When I was younger, I didn't pay attention, but I followed along, and I wanted to play church music. And that's when I decided that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to play in church and went back to Connecticut, and Brother Benson was gracious enough. He knew what I was into. But he let me play the organ on Sunday mornings at the church. And for Jay's sake, I'll just say he let me play the organ. There was a kid in the church growing up, and he'd always come up to me, can I play the organ, Brother Jesse? And so we used to make fun of the way he talked. It was kind of an in-joke between us. But he let me play, and I went off to Bible school. And at Bible school, when I was 19 years old, I told the Lord, I said, you can have everything. I said, I just want you to use me. I started here in this room because there was a pastor who wasn't afraid to just do things a little different. Sometimes he makes me cringe now as I got older. I'm like, is this going to work? And it always does. Yeah. It always does. I don't know why I doubt. But even when it doesn't, it's fun to watch him backpedal. Like when the brother sang House of the Rising Sun in church. I said, how's he gonna fix this? And I'm over there, and I think Zach was over there that night, and we're just laughing like, what's he gonna do? What's he gonna do? What's he gonna do? Somehow, he got out of it. I don't know how, but he's got mad skills that I just don't have. Let's get into the Word of God tonight and see what it's got. I love the Word of God. Amen. I love to read the Bible. Amen. I love to study the Bible. And as I get older, it becomes more precious. Amen. Book of Song of Solomon. I've never preached out of Song of Solomon up until the Lord gave me a message out of Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon chapter 5, and we'll start reading in verse number 2. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse number 2. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door. And my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved. And my hands dropped with myrrh. And my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Tonight I want to preach on this subject. He was just here, and I missed him. He was just here, and I missed him. Let's pray. Father, Lord, you know my heart. You know I just want to help your people. You know I want to be a blessing, and I want to be an encouragement. Lord, your word says that all scriptures given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for rebuke and for reproof and exhortation and all long-suffering and doctrine. Lord, it's not my intention, Lord, to reprove or rebuke tonight, but to exhort. But Lord, if you have reproof for us, or if you have rebuke for us, Lord, that's your business. And Lord, I just want to do your business tonight. So Lord, I pray you'd fill me with the Holy Ghost and anoint me for these few moments. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. He was just here, and I missed him. Something struck me about that story of Song of Solomon, and we read this story. It's the story of passion between a man and a woman. And if you want to access the typology and why it's there for the Christian and why it's profitable for the Christian, we can look at it as the Lord Jesus Christ wanting to just love on his bride for a while. It's a beautiful love story. I don't recommend that you use some of the pickup lines that he used. They're a little bit outdated. I think you might get slapped if you tell your wife that her hair reminds you of a flock of goats or her temples remind you of pomegranates. You might get palmed. Not in a good way. But all joking aside, it really is a beautiful love story. It's a song between a man and a woman. A love song is what it is. That's why it's called the Song of Songs. It's because it's a love song. We always talk about, oh yeah, the 80s had great love songs, great power ballads. But there's no love song. There's no love song like the love song that Jesus is going to sing to us. There's no love song like the song he's going to sing to his bride. I believe this. I believe that when we sing in the congregation, when we sing those songs like It Is Well With My Soul or Arise My Soul Arise, I believe he might just be in heaven singing right along with us. What a thing when Jesus starts to sing. Boy, what a thing that is. But this part of the story is a very sad part of the story, because the bride, the beloved, is pining for her man, if I may use that term. She's pining for him. She wants to see him. She's waiting for him. She's prepared for him. But something happens where she comes off track. He comes by, and she misses him. I want you to notice the desire tonight. She has this desire to see her man. I believe this. Women especially are good for this. They'll sit around. Now, men, that we're bred to work and stuff like that. We don't necessarily daydream like women do. But a lot of women who are engaged and stuff, we'll use Kylie for example. I bet you Kylie, when she's not mad at Josh, is daydreaming about the day Josh will marry her. She's up there in Pennsylvania, and she's daydreaming about that. And a lot of women, that's what they do. They daydream about their beloved. And I believe, if we can, that this young lady is daydreaming about Solomon. She's daydreaming about when he'll come to her house and he'll say, "Honey, I'm home. Let's spend some time with each other." And boy, she's imagining what he'll smell like. She's imagining maybe what clothes he'll be wearing when he comes to the door. She's imagining all these things about Solomon. She's desiring to see her beloved. He doesn't come, and she waits all day. Maybe she stays up pining for 2 or 3 days. And she gets tired, and she goes to sleep, and we know the story. Because as much of a desire as she has to see him, there's a disaster that takes place. There's a disaster. She falls asleep. He comes knocking on the door, and she misses him. And she gets up, and she's upset because she hears his voice, and she thinks maybe she's daydreaming. Maybe she's just dreaming it. And then she wakes up, and she hears the knocking on the door. And she hears the knocking on the door, and he says, "Honey, I'm home. Open the door." And as she hears that knocking, she stretches and she starts to come to, and she goes and she gets her clothes on and gets dressed a little bit and goes to the door, only to find the knocking has stopped. And she opens the door. He's not there. But his scent remains. Can you imagine the disappointment? Can you imagine the disappointment she feels as she calls his name and he doesn't answer? And she runs out in the street, if you continue reading the passage, she runs out into the town and she's looking for him, and they make fun of her in the town and they mistreat her because they just think, "Oh, this lovesick fool. She's looking for this guy. He don't want nothing to do with her." Can you imagine the disappointment that she feels? Say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this, it's the same way with us. You know, I believe this, every saved person has a desire somewhere to fellowship with the Savior. Somewhere, I don't care how far from God you are. There's something inside of you that wants to fellowship with him. So how do you know? Because I've been far from him. And there was always some kind of desire to fellowship with him. Say, why is that? Because I belong to him and he belongs to me. I know there's some people that think you can lose your salvation. You can't do it. You're always going to be saved. You can't jump out of his hand. No man of earth or devil of hell can pluck you out of his hand. I belong to him. He belongs to me. And if you're saved, he belongs to you and you belong to him. And I believe that we all have a desire to fellowship with the Lord. Do you know why the second thing I do, I pour myself a cup of coffee first. But the next major thing that I do every morning is to sit down somewhere. If I'm at home, it's always a big recliner in the living room or in the den. If I'm on the road, it's wherever I am. If there's a hotel room, I'll sit on the chair at the desk in the hotel room. Or if I'm at somebody's house, I'll find somewhere to sit down and spend some time in prayer and reading the word and fellowshipping with my beloved. Do you know why? Because I have a desire to hear from him and I have a desire to talk to him. And that's why I do what I do. I don't do it to get brownie points. I don't read my Bible so I can get a star on the chart. I do it because I love him. Because I want to spend time with him. Because I want to be intimate with him. I want to know him better. And I want to know his voice better. And I want him to know my needs because he cares about them. But boy, there's sometimes he wants to meet with me and I get too busy. I get distracted. Just like the distraction of Solomon's beloved was that she got tired. Do you know, even though we want to meet with the Lord, we have distractions. Do you know what I believe? I believe that when we come to church, when this particular part of the body of Christ comes to church, I believe the Lord walks in here with us. So why is that? Because he lives in us. And I believe where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. But you know, sometimes we come to church and he wants to meet with us. And if you're spiritually discerning of any kind, sometimes you can feel him stirring around, but nobody's paying attention. So why is that? Too many distractions. What kind of distractions are you talking about, preacher? I don't like that song that they're singing. I don't understand why people are shouting during this song. I hate this song. Someone else is getting a blessing while you're sitting over there with a bitter and critical spirit. Say, why is that? You're so distracted from the Lord moving and he's knocking on your door. He's saying, I want to meet with you. He's saying, hey, Josh, won't you open the door? I want to come up beside you. I want to teach you a little bit more about me. But you're distracted with a critical spirit. I don't know why he has that preacher come every year to the meeting. I don't like him. Hey, I got an advanced revelation for you. There's preachers I don't like. There are people that I just don't like. Now, if they're saved, you got to love them. They're your brothers and your sisters. We don't let sisters preach behind the pulpit here. Some of them would like to. But they're your brothers. I remember one time I was talking to Pastor, we were at the house, and there was this certain preacher. You probably remember this conversation. We probably had several. But there was a certain preacher that I did not like. And I'd get in meetings, and this guy would be there. And I'd come home, and I'd say, oh, preacher, I don't like this guy. Oh, I can't stand him. And preacher said, well, is he preaching the truth? I guess I'm really not listening very well because I don't like him. The preacher said this to me, regardless of whether you like the person, if he's got the word of God open and he's preaching, thus saith the Lord, he deserves to be listened to. Let me tell you something. I went to a meeting and that guy was there. And he preached a message that changed my life. I still didn't like him. As a person, I didn't like him. Let me tell you a story. Now, preacher, he talks about all the good times with Dr. Ruckman and stuff like that. I went down there to school. I did not like him. I'm not sure if I ever really liked him. I loved him. I respected him. The man knew the book. He was probably the greatest Bible teacher of this age, of this century and last century. But I always thought he was just kind of arrogant. I hated German music. He swore that German music was what was going to be played in heaven. And I promised I didn't want to be on that side of heaven. I told him that. But you know what? He'd get in that classroom, and he'd open that book, and he'd start teaching. He'd come to a point where he'd begin to weep. He'd be talking, some of you that's been down there, you remember sometimes he'd talk about people that's less fortunate on the mission fields, and he's seen them, or people that he led astray before he got saved. He'd just begin to weep. So what did that do? I need to listen to this guy. He knows something I don't know. Now, personally, he wasn't my favorite person in the world. But, man, what I wouldn't do to thank him one more time for teaching me that book. There have been preachers since that I don't like as people that have preached messages that have changed my life. So why is that? Because the Lord was knocking on my door and he wanted to meet with me. And he said, if you'll just do something a little bit inconvenient and listen to somebody you don't like, I got something I want to teach you about myself. I don't like everything that goes on in church. I'm an evangelist. I travel from church to church all over the country. And the church I like best is right here. But if God's stirring around, if he's knocking on the door, I want to meet with him. I don't want to just say, well, they're not doing it just the way I would do it. That can't be God. Turns out that it can be. But we get distracted over petty little things. We get distracted because a pastor's wearing a shirt that's a pastel color or a tie that doesn't match just the way you want it to match. Or here's one. I heard a great message from a guy, and he used his iPad to preach the message. He had his Bible, and he had his notes on the iPad. And the next guy in the meeting that went and preached after him rebuked that first preacher for preaching with his iPad. So what'd that do? It distracted half the people in the room because whatever that first preacher plowed and whatever God gave that first preacher to say, that second one minimized it with his critical spirit. Hey, listen, you may not like the way someone does it. You may think you can do it better, and I have no doubt that you probably can. But if a man's preaching, thus saith the Lord, he deserves to be listened to. he deserves to be respected. If someone's up singing about the Lord, listen, I have heard some bad singing in my day. Okay? I'm a singer. Little bit, I try. But man, I have heard some singing. I'm like, why are they singing in church? But somewhere in the middle of that song, they got touched. They got praising God. Preacher always talks about the time at Tabernacle when old Jerry Rugg got up and sung. Jerry Rugg's still down there. He's an odd little old man. Never been married. Just giving his life to the Lord, giving his life to church. He still sings too. Sometimes they'll play him on WTBI. He ain't a great singer, but I guarantee you he means what he's singing. And I'd rather hear somebody like that sing than some of the best Southern gospel groups there are. I'd rather hear somebody like Charlotte with the song she wrote get up and sing for Jesus than someone who's got it all figured out and knows how to roll the chords just right and knows how to sing the harmonies just right. Don't get me wrong. I like good singing. I like singing that's been worked at and stuff like that. But I don't like it in place of the touch of God.
Amen.
You know what? Sometimes those crazy guys, them crazy singers, I've been to Bill Gaither concerts and stuff like that. And I go, like people go to a ball game or something. It's just entertainment to me. Sometimes them crazy guys, they get to lifting up the name of Jesus. He just starts moving in spite of himself. Say, what happened? He knocking on the door. And I want to meet with him. I guarantee you, I want to meet with him. You wake up in the morning and the Lord says, hey, how about spending about a half hour with me? There's something real neat I want to show you in my word this morning. But Lord, I got stuff to do. I got to go to work. I got to do this. I got to do that. Can't you just spend a few minutes with me? And what happens? He knocks on the door. He knocks on your door. But you sleep right on through because you're distracted. I want you to look at the disappointment real quick. Boy, it's disappointing when you survey the waste of time that you had when you could have been fellowshipping with the Savior. It's disappointing. It's a disappointment when you go to the door and all that's left is the smell that he's been there, but you were too busy doing something else. You know what I've seen happen in churches? I've seen it happen in this church. Man, the Lord will sweep through and we'll have a service like no other and there'll be somebody that's been critical and or something like that. And then they'll say, I didn't feel nothing on that. Well, the Lord hadn't met with me. Well, listen here, silly. It don't take rocket science to know he's been there. And maybe the reason that you haven't been met with because you were distracted. Maybe the reason you're bitter is because you can still smell the fragrance lingering in the air that he was here, but you were somewhere else. You are somewhere in Bitterville or Criticalville, somewhere in Distractedville, and you failed to notice that he was there. And I believe this, sometimes he'll come by and we'll miss out on him and it'll take us weeks or months even to get back to where he wanted us to be because we got distracted. Boy, those cares of life, they distract us.
That's right, yeah.
Trials. You know what I found as I got older? The Lord meets with me more in a trial than he does any other time. I'm going to say that again. The Lord meets with me more in a trial than at any other time.
Yeah.
10 years ago, I went through the first really trying emotional experience of my life, and it was a depression that I went through. What depression is, it's just a pity party. I don't minimize it. I believe we all go through them. Elijah went through it. John the Baptist went through it. Jonah went through it. But I was distracted by it. And I went through just kicking and screaming and trying to figure it out my own way. And in the end, you know what the Lord said to me in that room? If you would have just let me have it from the beginning, you would have saved yourself a lot of aggravation. Boy, what a disappointment it was to know that God wanted to speak with me all through that time. To know that that time, instead of being a pain, it could have been precious. But I missed out. He was knocking. He was at the door saying, "Open the door, my beloved. I want to meet with you. I want to fellowship with you." But I was distracted. He was just here, and I missed him. He was just here, but I missed him. Boy, how many missed opportunities have we had to meet with God? How many missed opportunities have we had? Not just here in church, but man, we have a church where God shows up in our midst so much that some of us, if we're not careful, we take it for granted. I'm going to say that one more time because I don't think some of you believe me. God shows up here in our midst so much that we've gotten so used to it and we take it for granted. If you don't believe me, go to another church for a few weeks. Ain't like this. Not every pastor desires for God to meet with us. I've seen him put whatever his plans were on hold because the Holy Ghost started moving like through here like a tornado. And he said, "Whatever I had planned is not as important, Lord, as what you've got planned. Let's just meet with you for a while." Boy, he came by this morning. We were singing Calvary's Touch, and some folks got real stirred up remembering what the Lord did for them when they finally came in contact with Calvary. One of our preacher's favorite messages that I preach is called, or that he preaches that I love to hear, is called "What I Found at Calvary." Say, what is it? It's his testimony about when Calvary touched his life. I can tell you when Calvary touched my life. I was 15 years old, just played church my whole life. Boy, I think about that. I think of the ruin that I could have had when I sing that song. This world doesn't know to this very day how Calvary touched my life, how everything was changed. Boy, it was. I don't deserve to be here, but Jesus showed up. Jesus started knocking. I'm glad I wasn't distracted that day. I'm glad I opened the door to him. I want to challenge you tonight. When he shows up here, would you let him have his way in your life? When he wakes you up and just wants to meet with you for a while, would you just listen to him? Listen, I ain't the most spiritual person probably in the room. But I know his voice. And I know his touch. And I know when I get distracted. And I'm not about that life. I don't believe it was an accident that Mrs. Nunn sung "Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior." She didn't know what I was preaching. Amen. Pastor didn't know what I was preaching. But the Lord knew. I want Miss Nunn to come back up. And I want her to sing that song as an invitation, if that's okay. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Is there anything between you and Him tonight? Is there anything that would hinder you from hearing His voice? Boy, it'd sure be a shame if He showed up again and you missed Him one more time. It'd sure be a shame if next Sunday morning, if He wanted to meet with us, and there's someone in here that missed Him because they were distracted by the cares of this world, by whatever's going on in their heart. I'm going to step aside. I'm going to have Miss Nunn sing, "Nothing Between My Soul and My Savior." Here's the invitation tonight. Is there anything in your life that would hinder you from hearing His voice? If there is, why don't you do business with God? Get it settled. Get it cleaned up. Maybe you're in this room tonight and you've played church all your life. And you don't know what it's like for the Lord to show up because He's been trying to convict you and you've been trying to talk yourself into something that you really don't have. Maybe tonight you can get it settled. Maybe you can get saved tonight. Maybe you can enter into the joy of salvation. Is there something between you and the Lord tonight? He was just here, and I missed Him. Sing, Miss Nunn.